Welcome back to The Good, The Bad and The BPD. My name's Tammy Mortland and today we are going to be discussing a very delicate subject. And that subject is emotional grooming. Now, this episode may be triggering for some people, so please bear that in mind while you're listening to it. It's also triggering for me and I still get hot and sweaty talking about it. My mouth gets dry, so if I start going... I'm sorry, I've got a bottle of water at the side of me. sometimes I get overwhelmed by it. Most of the time I get angry. So, yeah. Also, I've been asked why I'm sharing such personal stories with the world, and I'll tell you why. I wish I knew half the stuff I know now about mental health, relationships, emotions, etc. And... I'd have loved to have found something like The Good, The Bad and The BPD when I got diagnosed because I just felt so alone. I didn't know what a healthy relationship was. I didn't know about grooming. I'd never heard words like gaslighter, narcissist, manipulator, and I didn't know other people felt and acted the way that I did. So, yeah, that's why I share my stories and I hope that answers your questions. So, onwards. Deep breaths. Episode 6, The One Who Ruined My Life. In 2014, I got a job working for a company as one of their managers. I was 24 and my boss was what I'd class as old enough to be my dad. And I'm going to leave that description there because this person... probably will sue me, anything to make my life miserable. He doesn't know where I am, so I'd like to keep it that way. And anyway, I were offered the job, even though I'd got no experience. Like, the closest I got to building something were a bifter. And I was so out of my comfort zone. I knew I'd be up for a challenge, though, because I just prided myself on challenge. I just loved it. And this were a big role for me, and I had something to prove, like, after jumping from job to job, after leaving my first proper office job, like, this were permanent, not sales or recruitment target in sight. So, first few months, I obviously got things wrong, and that's to be expected with a new job, innit? Like, boss was so patient, and it was just like he understood me, and after the first year of working there is when I went for my diagnosis, and... as I mentioned, my boss came with me and this was probably one of the worst ideas I've ever had in my life. And you're probably thinking, why, Tammy? Surely it can't be that bad. Oh, but it can. This person must have memorised every little insecurity that I had and stored them in his psychopathic brain for later. After my appointment, he changed almost straight away, my boss, and he was more tentative to my needs, made me feel like somebody actually cared and understood how I felt, because my partner at home didn't, and my friends and family didn't, in my eyes anyway. So I spent a lot of time confiding in this person, telling him what my passions were, what scared me, you name it, he knew about it, and we sat opposite each other, and it were only us two in office, so we had nobody else to talk to, and... he became, in my eyes, the dad I'd always wanted. I'd got daddy issues, I'd always had daddy issues, and me and him did like dad and daughter bonding things, like it were cool. It were nice to have that figure in my life after so long of wanting it. We discussed my relationship with Guy, and he'd convinced me that I'd be better off without him, and I deserved better. And he'd fill my head with things like, men don't do that to women they love, and he clearly don't want to be with you, or he wouldn't cheat on you, like blah, 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 and all that. I were having my house renovated by his friends, who were tradesmen, and they came and surveyed the house, gave me a price, all that jazz, and to avoid me having to leave work when the guys needed to be let in... I had a spare key cut and I gave this to my boss to let the work guys in because I weren't having his friends or work people I didn't know having a key to my house. But you're still probably sat there thinking, why would you do that? Why would you give your boss a key? And at this point in my life, you have to understand that this person was the only person that I could trust. Remember when I said last episode that I cut all my friends and my family out? And here's the reason why. He kept saying, all your friends and family can go round to each other's houses, but they can't walk 2 minutes down the road to see you. Or, why is it always you going up to see them? Like, it's always you running round after them, never other way around. And the more I thought about it, the more he was absolutely spot on. Like, they all made the effort with each other, but not with me. They'd go out for walks, coffee, chinwag with each other. I've got to point out that they were all mums, and I wasn't, but that's not the point. I mean, they would do mummy things, to which obviously I wouldn't want to go to anyway, but he'd managed to convince me somehow that my friends and family didn't care about me, which fed straight into my abandonment and daddy issues. My BPD already made me think that people didn't care about me, so he'd just cemented that they didn't. And I trusted this person, so why would he lie to me? I'd mention I were interested in doing something or going somewhere, and he'd always be up for coming with me. Like, he'd also pay for the majority of the stuff, and I didn't care. I were getting free shit, like days out, fancy restaurants, things like that. Like, this pains me to say, but he were like a sugar daddy, but without the sexual stuff. And I can't believe I just said that. He made me feel like I were on a pedestal and made me feel worthy of somebody's time and affection, but not in a romantic way, just in a friend way, for me anyway. And he'd ask for my advice on stuff, which made me feel valued, because feeling valued wasn't something that I often felt having BPD. But he believed in me when so many others didn't, and he made friends with me dad, and still to this day, I've got no idea how that happened. He started going to the gym with me dad, and me dad actually asked me and this person were in a relationship, and me dad weren't the only one to question my relationship with my boss, if I'm honest, and back then I found that absolutely hilarious. I mean, I'm laughing now, and it's not funny, but I found it funny back then because I looked at this person like a father figure, and I'd tell him what they said, and he'd say, oh, they're only jealous of our relationship because we get on and nobody understands. It's just because I'm a bloke and you're a woman, all that. And at this point, I was still with Guy. I'd been working at the company a year, and I think it was a year. It's got to have been. And he said, your boss fancies you. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. He's like me dad. Oh, I find it so funny. And it wasn't until Guy said it that I actually questioned it, and I'd gone through a quick mental process of what would happen if he thought I was cheating on him with my boss. Like, would he leave me? What would happen? So then I started to go over conversations and little things in my head that stood out. And I don't know if it's a BPD thing, but my memory is impeccable at remembering stuff that it shouldn't. Like, don't ask me to remember important stuff like appointments or things like that. But I'll remember what, like, outfit you wore for your birthday when you were 21. I never noticed it before. From this point on, like, I became more and more aware of my boss's behaviour, and I started to notice he'd be touchy-feely with me. Like, he'd sit extra close to me with his leg touching mine, or his arm next to mine, but something would always be touching me. That sounds so wrong, but his arm or his leg or his foot, something like that would always be touching me. And he'd stand in doorway and not move, so I'd got to squeeze past him. Stuff like that. And how had I not noticed this before? I'd been there a year, and I don't know. Was it a case of my brain making it up? Like when I said I thought I'd got bipolar and I started to notice similarities. Like, had I made this up in my brain? I started to notice him staring at me across the desk. It didn't make me feel uncomfortable at first because, like I say, I still looked at him like my dad, and I was still with the love of my life. And within 2 days, a guy saying that of him saying, your boss fancies you, it was like he jinxed me. And I hated Guy for it. I genuinely thought he jinxed me. Because something happened at work with my boss and... Bear with me, I need a drink. So yes, something happened at work with my boss and me, I called it. Tammy must have gave him the wrong impression. Tammy must have flirted with him. We aren't realising. Like, Tammy must have been over-friendly. Like, surely this were my fault. He was so nice to me. Like, I obviously must have given him the wrong signal for other people to question our relationship too. I just automatically thought that I'd let him on by accident and I didn't know how. Noara said that once I got my diagnosis, I then split up with Guy. Well, that was only part of the story. Like, what I've just vaguely told you, I haven't really told you anything, but that was the main reason. And Guy knows this, told him a few years later, but the thought of anybody touching me or coming near me after that made me feel physically sick and scared. Next day, however, it was as though nothing had happened. Like, yeah, mate, that bacon cob that you've just strolled in with for me is going to make me feel less disgusted in with myself for feeling like I'd led on a 50-year-old man. Cracking job. Well done. Gold star. Blue Peter badge. Oh, yeah, so... Calm down, Tommy. I tried to avoid him as much as possible at work. I'd avoid his eye contact, hardly spoke to him. I just kept myself to myself. I felt ashamed, embarrassed that I'd put myself in that position. Like, how could I have led him on? Like, I used to sit in office going over scenarios in my head and still come to the same conclusion that I'd led him on. I'd sink down in front of my computer so he couldn't see me. And I remember one at Guy's coming into office and asking me if everything were all right. And I just started crying and I made up a reason about my breakup because I was not going to tell a fellow work person that I'd led the boss on. Like, why would I do that? That makes me look absolutely stupid. And it was just so hard at work because my world had literally ended in more ways than just a broken heart. Like, I was a broken soul. And I couldn't escape my feelings of shame. I really couldn't. I was constantly watching what I said, what I wore, how I moved my body when I were around him, and I didn't want to give him any impression that I fancied him because I absolutely didn't. And it's sad to think that I didn't have the courage back then to just throat punch him right hard. But after that, yeah, I avoided my boss like the plague, and we like bonus stories on this show, so he just kept inviting himself to my gatherings and to places when I went out. So story one, I had bonfire night at mine and that was the end of 2015, I think. And my stepmom, her partner, my little sister, next door neighbour, friends, you know. Well, anyway, my boss invited himself, as per usual, to my gatherings. And I were obviously scared on him, so I wouldn't have dreamt of telling him to leave. Like, my family and friends didn't know about this thing either, so they had no reason to suspect that my boss was the problem, so they wouldn't ask him to leave. It was like he just wanted to keep an eye on me and what I were doing, and he'd try and get close to me if I were on my own sorting food out. He'd come and help and be, like, really close to me and trying to touch me by accident. And I had a thin conservatory and it was a one-person walk down at a time. And when I'd go to walk out, he'd make a beeline to walk in. And he'd purposely... come on, Tammy, get your words out. He'd brush himself past me, like make his body touch mine. And I was very uncomfortable. Even talking about it now, it makes me uncomfortable and I'm hot. One time when I was going through with food, he went to come through the conservatory. And he just stopped in front of me and like leant in to kiss me. Obviously, I'd got things in my hand, so there was nothing much I could do apart from panic and like lean back. And I ran back into the house and went to the toilet to calm down. And I heard something going off downstairs. I don't know where it were, but when I came back down, he'd gone. But while I was sat on the toilet, I was thinking, why is he doing this to me? Like in front of me stepmom and everyone, like, is he trying to embarrass me on purpose? Or is he joking? Like, does he actually think that I fancy him? Like, all this was going round in my head that night. And I had a conversation with my stepmom about this episode, and I've since found out that that night, while I was in the toilet, the kerfuffle that was going on downstairs, my boss had walked past one of my friend's female children. She was 9, 10, and he'd brushed his hand across her bum shortly after. Obviously, it must have been the conservatory incident with me. And apparently her mum saw what he did and like full on kicked off at Max, and hence why he weren't there when I went back down. But yeah, I found this out like 3 days ago. So do you think the last lot of stuff I've told you is bad? Wait till you hear this one. Story two. And I'd gone out for Paige's leaving due, end of 2015. I'm going to keep this short because this is an episode on its own, but me and my friend's drink was spiked, and fast forward to next morning, and I woke up with the worst headache in the world. And I've had an hangover before. It weren't that. I've had a come down before. It wasn't that. This was something else. It felt like chemicals were in my brain, in my body. Like my eyes felt heavy and my body just didn't feel right and it ached. And I tried to get my bearings, as you do when you're pissed as a fart and you're like, where am I? And I realised I were at home. But everything were blurry and I were in my own bed, which were fine. The only thing was, I wasn't alone in my bed. Someone was at the side of me, somebody that I knew. And I remember trying to dive out of bed. And I fell to my knees because I could hardly stand up. Like, I'd got no energy in my body. I remember it. It was just like my voice had worked, but nothing else. And I'd got wooden floorboards, no carpet yet. And I remember, like, staring at this sticker. And it were blurry. I just remember it were blue at the start. And then as my eyes started to focus, I could see this, like, green dinosaur on it. And I remember shaking and screaming, and I turned round and he just got such a confused look on his face that he couldn't understand why I was screaming at him to get out. And I was remembering more and more bits and pieces, like from the night as the seconds went on. And within the space of, 10 seconds of me falling to the floor and my head exploding with questions, I'd ran through every awful scenario imaginable, because my brain runs at 1,000 miles an hour anyway, especially when it's something bad. So yeah, what my brain were like, what happened last night? How did I get home? How had he got in? What the fudge had happened to me? And I remember having 2 drinks, that's it. And I screamed at him again to get out of my house. And it turns out that he'd used his key that I'd given him to let himself in after I'd texted him and said I needed help because I was stranded in town. Now, I know this is an absolute lie because I asked my friend who I was out with and she said we got a taxi home. I mean, I don't know why she remembers, but she says we got a taxi home. And there were no messages on my phone from my boss, only an incoming call from him at about 2 o'clock in the morning. So I don't really know, but still to this day, I can't remember most of that night. And I certainly can't remember getting a taxi or even walking into my house. And this is like nail on head for me because my dog was locked in the kitchen, which I'd never do. My dogs, this dog was Polly, she was up my arse 24/7. My other dog, Luna, at the side of me, is up my arse 24/7. My dogs are my children, so the fact that she was in the kitchen was alarming to me. And once he'd left, I tried to piece together the night. Like, picked up my phone, and a whole world of shit had happened from this night. The repercussions from this night lasted for about 4/5 years, and I mean, that's for another episode entirely, but this was the Friday night that I'd gone out, so all day Saturday, I'm trying to piece together how on earth this person, of all people, had ended up in my bed. I checked my body for signs of hope, but I was covered in bruises on my arms, my legs, my face, my back, my shoulder. They were everywhere, but they weren't massive bruises. They were like tiny, tiny little bruises, like somebody had poked me with a pen. Like they weren't, like I say, they weren't massive, but my body felt so different anyway to how it did yesterday. I can't explain it. And I think that's how I knew that my drink had been spiked that night, because my body felt weird. I couldn't piece together the night. Nothing flowed. And I just felt dirty. Dirty, humiliated, ashamed of myself. Like, you wouldn't believe. Like, I can't believe I've been so stupid as to go out and get my drink spiked and wake up with this specific person in my bed and not remember. Like, what a stupid thing to do. But I believed it were all my fault. And to anybody listening now that's had the drink spiked, it weren't your fault. And don't let anybody ever convince you any differently. So I spent most of Saturday in Bath crying, staring at my little bruises. I kept replaying the night in my head over and over again, like just trying to piece bits together. And the more and more pieces that were coming back to me, I were mortified. Like, on this night, I'd fallen out with my dad big time. And yeah, I can't go into much more about that because that's another episode in itself. But Sunday, I received a text from my boss, and I were lay on the sofa, and I know what I were watching. I were watching The Walking Dead, and I know my heart stopped when I saw his name pop up on my phone, and I thought I were going to be sick. It was something to do with work. I don't know what it were, but it was like no, it had happened. And I ignored him, thinking that he'd go away, because obviously it's weekend, like, leave me alone. He didn't. He turned up at my house, let himself in with a key that I'd forgot to take off him. Like, I've made all this up in my head, haven't I? Like, I've hallucinated this person being in my bed. I've made this whole thing up. I've dreamt it. I mean, I'm crazy after all. So he strolled in my house, biggest smile on his face, and a McDonald's. And I thought I were going to pass out. And I remember he sat down at side of me and he was talking away to me, and I've got no idea what he was saying because I couldn't look at him. I just froze and I was staring at telly, and I think that is where my love for Daryl Dixon came from, because it was the scene where he pulls the arrow out of his leg and stabs a walker with it. And in that moment, Daryl Dixon allowed me to escape from where I was. So if you were ever wondering why I've got 2 tattoos of Daryl Dixon on my arm, that is why. But at that time, I can't remember anything else. But I know when he finished his McDonald's, he got up and he left, and I burst out crying, like, what is wrong with me? Like, I've made this whole thing up in my head. I must have done, surely. Like, it's got to be the schizophrenia in me. I've made this up. I'm hallucinating. Nobody would believe me anyway. Like, why would they? I pushed everybody away. I'd got nobody. I'd only got my boss. And surely he wouldn't do that to me. Surely he wouldn't. But I know I couldn't sleep Sunday night knowing I'd have to see him for 8 hours on Monday. And I worked myself up that much before going into work that I had a panic attack. And my panic attack was that bad that I ended up on the floor. I can't remember how I got there. I just know that my dog Polly were lay outside of me. Luckily for me, though, when I got to work, he weren't there. He would be away for a week, as per the letter he left on my desk, which he loved to leave a little note. Yeah, that suited me down to ground. Every time the phone rang or the door opened, I'd feel my heart pound. Just in case it were him and he caught me off guard. Tuesday were a shocker though, because he turned up at dinner time and I nearly threw up all over my desk. I had to run to the toilet to make sure that nobody saw me because I didn't want to come across as weak, or I certainly didn't want him to see me. And he'd come in to meet the CCTV guys. Long story short, we had cameras in the office and every single one of them pointed at a certain part on my body. I could not escape these cameras. It just changed so quickly after that weekend, and I didn't recognise this person. He were bitter, he were angry, he was so nasty towards me, and this put me under extreme stress, and I were being spied on at work, I was being harassed, and I was being made to feel uncomfortable in my own workplace. And I'd come into work for the next 2 months dreading every day. He'd make crude remarks, or he'd say stuff like, "Arse is looking good, girl," or "Cracking pair of legs you've got," or "Oh, why don't you wear a skirt? It's warm." Do you know, just little things like that that made me skin crawl and made me want to smack him straight in teeth. And he also tried to buy the house next door to me, which I'm glad he didn't. His tradesman friends never finished half the stuff they were paid to do either. So I'd got $9,000 worth of unfinished building work and $9,000 worth of debt that I got to pay off. And I've been robbed of my money and my confidence and myself. In the meantime, I chopped all my hair off. And when I say I chopped my hair off, I did not half-arse this. My hair was all the way down my back. And I had it cut and shaved like Ruby Rose. If you don't know who she is, she's got short black boy's haircut. And the only way to describe her is androgynous. Is that it? When you don't know whether they're a boy or a girl, I think that's right. I could be wrong. Please don't get offended. So yeah, I started to wear baggy clothes, like retro baggy jeans, baggy t-shirts, dock boots, oversized hoodie, beanie, basically anything that made me look like a shit version of Justin Bieber. I felt comfortable dressed like this. Nobody could see me. Nobody had defo. They defo didn't want to touch me, did they? This is obviously when I started to lose all the weight, as I mentioned last episode. I tried dating women, but I still struggled to let anybody near me, and I'd go on dates, but it'd only be a first date because I'd worked myself up that much about the sexual stuff that one date was enough, and I'd usually fob them off. Anything at work I did, I'd have to have a meeting about it now, and if I breathed in the wrong direction, I'd have got a verbal warning. Nothing I could do were right, and I got in trouble for the slightest thing. And by this point, something snapped within me and I were livid. Like, I started to see all the things that he'd done, singled me out from my friends and my family, made me think that my friends and family hated me, learnt about my insecurities, i.e. daddy issues, used my insecurities against me, forced me to break up with Guy, stole my money, stole my life. You name it, this guy did it. And yeah, the realisation that I'd been emotionally groomed was far too much for my fragile brain to take. And it made me so embarrassed because I was a grown-ass woman who'd just got groomed by another adult. Like, how did I not see this? Did the BPD and my fear of abandonment make me blind to it? But I hated him after that. I started coming into work late. He used to brush his teeth at work, so I'd accidentally let his toothbrush fall in the toilet. I'd spit in his tea, stick my fingers up to the camera like a child, and the cameras had audio, so I'd literally call him a perv, a pedo, you name it, I said it. I'd love to get my hands on that audio from that, because I bet I were evil. Not that he didn't deserve it. When he weren't in office, I were brave. If I knew he weren't coming in, I were brave that day. But when he were in the office, I crumbled and did what I were told like a good little child. But would he sack me? No, he wouldn't. It just made my life unbearable. And, I mean, I can laugh about it now, but it's not funny. It's really not. He'd invade my personal space on purpose, make things up about work, and then told me I'd missed it. And he'd constantly text me and ring me about work on my days off. Like, when I'd left for work, he'd message me about work, and if I didn't reply, he'd turn up at my house. I went on sick leave in March of 2016 after he'd walk past me in office towards the printer and run his hand across the back of my bra strap, and I just thought, enough for enough, you can pay me to sit at home. You can pay me all that money to sit at home. And while I was on sick, I had an email asking me to go in for a meeting about my behaviour and me being on sick. And this was at the end of March. And you want to know what the cherry on top of this ugly, awful cake is? The HR manager was his ex-wife. I will say that again for the people that weren't listening. His ex-wife was the HR manager. You couldn't make this shit up, could you? I literally sat there, stared at his ex-wife, and said, "Your husband has groomed me. He's a pedo and needs locking up." And you know what? She didn't look at all surprised, to be fair. She asked for me proof, told her me proof. She dismissed it, saying it was my word against his. And at this point, I've got no friends, no family. And now I were in jeopardy at losing my home I'd just bought, because this bloke paid my bills. Without this bloke paying my bills, I'd have nothing. And they were clearly going to sack me now. And I received an email from the ex-wife. I'm not even giving her the benefit of the doubt and calling her the HR manager, because, no, the ex-wife. The next day, she said that she was terminating my employment due to my behaviour and attitude towards the MD. And I was making it very difficult for him to conduct his business. To which I was fuming. Like, I'm the one being sacked for making him feel uncomfortable when he's emotionally groomed me, sexually assaulted me, and made me feel uncomfortable, spied on me, all that. I could not believe it. But I got a new job shortly after this, so yeah. Even now, though, I cannot walk past where I used to work in fear of seeing him. I've tried numerous times to walk past, and it's just to see if I could. But as soon as I get close, my heart starts to pound, I get sweaty, and I start crying, and I have to turn around. I've drove past this person a few times, and I've had to pull car to one side and stop because I've been hyperventilating that much. Still to this day, I don't drink. I'll have the odd one with a meal, but you will not see me drunk or out on the piss. This person, like, damaged me beyond belief, and I never thought another human being would do this to me, or anybody. I always told myself that I was a strong person, and I'd know if somebody ever did that to me, or I was in the process of that happening to me. And I'd never let anybody control me, but I'd now let two people control me. Like, the rest of life, this were a lesson. I can spot people like him a mile off now. They stand out to me like a pile of dog shit on your bed. I'm still not over it. I don't think I'll ever get over it. And I can't be around people with the same name as him. Anybody who looks vaguely like him makes me want to be sick. If I saw him now, even 6 years later, I don't know what I'd do. I don't know if I'd crumble or stand up for myself. And I'd hope I stood up for myself, because nobody else is going to stand up for me. Like, this is my battle and this is my demon to face. I'm still battling it. Not every day like it used to be, but some days I catch myself thinking about him and I cry, and I have to remind myself that I'm strong and I'm brave, and I will never let anybody make me feel that powerless ever again. And sat getting upset about him means that he's winning, and I will not allow that. Not anymore. I will not allow him to dictate my life anymore. If anybody can relate to this story, then please speak to somebody you trust. But if you are somebody like me who's pushed everybody away, then I'd ring the Samaritans. Because I'd hate for anybody to be going through something like this alone, like I was. But yeah, if you want to talk to somebody who doesn't know you, will not judge you, ring the Samaritans. Because that's it for today's episode of A Roller Coaster. That's it for today's roller coaster of an episode. Next week, I'm going to tell you the story about getting in debt and losing my home. I told you the last 5 years of my life have been a right shit show. So, yeah, join me next week and we'll be going through how I got in debt and how I lost my home. Thank you for listening to The Good, The Bad and The BPD. I'm Tammy Mortland. Have a lovely day.